Hey, everybody, welcome to the Goots Cast. It's WrestleMania week. We're back and we're doing something new this year. We are live on Twitch. We're working out the kinks. We're eventually going to have a customized thing and shit like that. But for now, we've got no viewers, Andrew Lee. But for now, we're just.
That's even better.
What? All right.
That's even better. I can say whatever I fucking want
at this point. Bro. But you say whatever you want anyway, and people, it's still online. Who can download it? Listen to you, Cole. I don't know. Say that you hate women. So,
all right. I never noticed your wallpaper. What is that?
That is the kitchen wallpaper. That was my parents, or when they were.
But what is it? Is it like fruit?
It's fruits and vegetables. It's like Thanksgiving treats or whatever. I don't know. Yes, yeah, it's fruits and vegetables. Yeah,
just cover that shit with wrestlers. I want you to cover it up with wrestlers.
I'm going to cover it up with the Ring of Honor. So it's night one. There are a lot of live shows. We don't watch that shit. Fuck indie wrestling. We watched what real men watched. We watched NXT UK and Impact Wrestling. We're going to talk about NXT UK first, then Impact Wrestling, and then we're going to cover some news and notes and call it a day. Andrew Lee, let's get started with the recap of NXT UK. Hit me with it, brother.
All right, NXT UK. Those of you guys who haven't watched it in a while, they have their fans back, so it's a limited amount of fans sitting around the ring. They do still pipe in noise, because you can tell, because you see people just sitting there not cheering, and there's all this cheering going on. So it doesn't even matter that the fans are there. First match is a male, the French Hope, versus Zaya Brookside, who's a heel. Mm-hmm. A male, this is like a typical match. A male's outside the ring, ref's not looking, and she gets attacked by somebody. She gets thrown back in the ring. Zaya Brookside hits her broken wings finisher for the win. It's like a backstabber variant. Actually, it looks like a pretty decent finisher. The person who attacked the male comes into the ring. Her name is, Eliza Alexander. She is now going to be aligned with Zaya Brookside. What did you think?
First of all, what was her name? Amil. So when Amil comes to the ring, her head is blocking the Titantron, and I thought it said French Hole, and I was like, what? And then I realized it said the French Hope, but it would be really funny if her name was the French Hole.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fine. I don't know. But the match was all right. Amil's good. Isn't Zaya Brookside? Isn't she leaving or something? Isn't this like an old match? Did I imagine that? Didn't someone just leave from the women over there? You're right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. No, I think I kind of recall someone leaving. You're right. I know Flash Morgan Webster, his contract is pretty much done and he might be leaving, but he's not a woman. Trying to think who
that you know of, maybe identifies as a woman. Why don't you show some respect?
Not right? Nina Samuels. It's not Ginny.
I'm gonna just look up Zaya Brookside while we're here. I could have swore she's like leaving.
I don't think she's leaving, because why would they do this?
They put all these in the can. You know.
I guess you're right, because you know what this felt like. This felt like because Zaya
Brookside. No, she's not leaving. I don't know why I thought she was leaving.
She's very small, and Eliza's kind of a little bit bigger than her. It looks almost like they're doing, like, the Shawn Michaels kind of thing, or not really, the Noam Dar.
Yeah, also, like, her dad's, like, so big. I think they're going to bring her over eventually.
Yeah.
Cameo. Like, none of the this is how you know Vince isn't paying attention. Oh, wait, she's not really. By the way, this whole show feels like it takes place in, like, the Phantom Zone. All these wrestlers were sent to the Phantom Zone and Vince doesn't know they're there and they're just doing this show in secret. It just doesn't even I thought they were gonna have like their big title match tonight because it's WrestleMania week, but it's next week. Uh-huh. I feel like they did it on purpose because they're like, we don't even want to do anything that they would remotely promote us for. So it's just today was just a regular episode.
You know what? I'm kind of glad they didn't do that big match this week. You're right, because they would have been just swallowed up by all the wrestling that's happening this week. You're right. It's better to just hold it back and then let everything happen, because almost nobody watches this show, you know?
No.
You know, so, yeah, nobody watched. I think
nobody wants to watch a recap of this show, which is why we have no
viewers. Yeah. I hadn't watched this show in like weeks. I had to like like review these shows real quick before today. Did you say you think Xia Brookside is going to be brought over to the like NXT or something? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think eventually because her really? Lure dad is also she's got.
I see nothing in her.
I don't see anything in her either. But I mean, like, yeah. What else do they have going for them?
A male I can see because they like doing that whole.
Well, she's the French hole. That's her.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one person from every country. She fits like she's Moroccan. She's French, dude. It's like she's a twofer, man. You know. So, anyway, you're whatever. We'll see. All we do on this show is see who do you think they're gonna bring over.
Right? Yeah. Like, who are they gonna bring since over? Because you can't get involved in the storylines. Because Doudrop, for those of you who don't know, Doudrop, yeah. Piper Nevin a year ago had this storyline where her and this other guy were falling in love. And then once she was called to the main roster, it was just forgotten about. Nobody even.
Yeah, they didn't.
Nobody even is like they didn't resolve. We're the only two people on the planet that are still like they didn't resolve that story. Who was the guy again?
Jack Starr. That was a good storyline.
Yeah, and they just so it doesn't even matter to get involved in anything going on.
They just dropped that storyline before it even got anywhere near juice. You know, yeah. That was so sad. I feel so bad for that guy. You know what is really fucked up is he was involved with Piper Niven, Jack mm-hmm. Starr, and as soon as that got finished, they paired him right up with Dave Mastiff. I guess he likes a particular body type or something.
Maybe he's like, if I can't have Piper Niven, I'll have Dave Mastiff.
Yeah, it was like, what? But all right, yeah. Yeah, nobody... This show is like you can't get invested in any story.
No.
Speaking of storyline, they did the next thing afterwards is like a video of Isla Dawn with the women's title because last week she had a titles match with Meika Satomura and she lost. But even though she lost, she stole the title, and so mm-hmm. she has the title. That's the whole thing. Do you like the way these videos are shot? The way these UK videos are shot are great. They look like movies.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Yeah. I don't know where they got the budget for it because Vince doesn't know they're doing this.
Yeah, exactly. Where do they get the like? It's shot better than the videos that they do in the main roster.
Yeah,
yeah. They look like cinematic videos. It looks really cool. What do you think of Isla Dawn's Alexa Bliss gimmick?
She's doing it better than Alexa Bliss, I guess. She does crazy better than Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about Alexa Bliss till you just compared them. And I'm like, all right, she's better than Alexa. But I mean, it's not really that great. It's nothing that like I'm going to.
Yeah. I don't like the crazy gimmick. I don't like it.
Because everybody has a crazy gimmick now. All the women. Because women are crazy.
It's like, yeah, nobody does it well either. Nobody's good at it. No. We got a video package of Roderick Strong versus Ilya Dragunov. That's the big match, Ray, we were talking about. It's going to be happening next week. And they have a clip of like wrestlers talking about it. And it ends with Jordan Devlin talking about he doesn't care who wins because he's going to fight the guy next, which leads me to believe that Dragunov is probably retained the title, I think.
Yeah, I think they're going to send Roderick back to the U.S. I mean, he probably already is back in the U.S.
I think he already is back in the U.S.
They got to fire him next week. So, you know.
What was the whole point of sending Roderick Strong over to the U.K.?
Because they don't want anything to do with him. So they're like, we'll just send him there. And then if you watch this show, you're like, oh my God, Roderick Strong's here. So it's kind of like when they sent Chris, right before the pandemic, they sent Chris Hero over there.
Yeah, and they fired him. Right after.
And then they fired him right after.
So, yeah, I know. This is not a good sign.
No. So it's like, you know, it looks like they're doing something. And in reality, they're like getting ready. Next week, they usually fire people right after Mania. Next week, he's, you know, after he loses, then Friday, he'll get fired. There you go. I guarantee you, Friday morning, he'll be fired. And then he'll show up on fucking Dynamite.
Yeah. If he gets fired, he's going to show up on AEW.
He's going to show up on AEW and people from like JD, people like JD from here will be like, game changer. The whole Disputed Era is here, and like they're gonna fuck you.
They get the cross line,
game changer, and then they're just gonna fucking job the Luchasaurus.
You know his wife's getting a push there now.
Yeah, so he's probably gonna go next. Yeah, they just want to put over the Russian guy. So We'll talk about the Russian guy.
Russian guy, basically, yeah. All right. All right. Then we get match number two, Ashton Smith versus Trent Seven. So this is the storyline.
Yes.
These two tag teams, they had a match, and it was actually a pretty good tag team match. But Mustache Mountain won with, like, Trent Seven supposedly, like, kind of, like, doing an unsportsmanlike move. But it wasn't cheating. It was, like, you're in a tag team match, and he, like, reversed, like, a cover. Like, they were doing that, you know, like, the cradle. They were doing, like, a schoolboy kind of cover. Yeah. Like, an inside cradle. And then he just, like, reversed it or something when Tyler Bate was in it. So it's not really cheating. But they were like, oh, it's unsportsmanlike. So they're trying to get back. So the week before, Tyler Bate versus Oliver Carter, and Tyler Bate lost. So now this is like doing the same thing. It's Ashton Smith versus Trent Seven. Remember when Trent Seven, like, he got in shape a couple of
years? Yeah, that's over. That's over.
Oh, that's way over. Yeah.
Dude, both guys. I was talking to someone at the time on via text. I was like, fucking Tyler Bate should have been like a star of the main roster by now. They've completely wasted his youth. They look like garbage, both guys. Oh, by the way, I came up for names for them for when they go to SmackDown and team up with Butch. Blimey and Bloke. So it's Butch, Bloke, and Blimey.
Those guys, they just gave up. I feel like they just...
Tyler Bate at fucking 19, because they had him at 19, was better than most fucking... And they've done nothing. Like, he was like a fucking prodigy. Remember he won the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
And then him and fucking Pete Dunne had an insane match. That was 5 years ago. They've done nothing with this guy since. This guy, I'm like, this guy's 19. He's going to be fucking incredible. And yeah, I guess you could dick around with this guy for like 10 years and then do something with him because he was so young. But it's like, dude, like, if you keep a guy around like this, just kind of like not doing anything, eventually you get the stench of failure, you know?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is, like, I don't agree with it, but supposedly it was because, like, they wanted him to work, like, extra hard, Tyler Bate. Like, they wanted him to do a whole bunch of other stuff, and he was
I feel like his career peaked with that Walter match 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Three years ago.
You know, supposedly, like, they asked him to do a couple of things, and he said no. And since then, they just downplayed him.
And Trent Seven looks awful. Trent Seven.
Yeah,
he's got a belly welly.
It's more than a belly welly. It's way more than that. All that weight he lost, I was like, wow, this guy looked like he got in great shape. And I don't know what happened. It's not like... I don't know what the fuck happened to his body. It just like, it looked like melted ice cream. It looked terrible. And anyways, Trent Seven, he hooks the tights when he covers Ashton Smith for the victory. Tyler Bate isn't happy because Trent Seven's kind of going into sneaky ways of like cheating and stuff. This match is all right. It's just the fact that Trent Seven is in such a terrible shape, it was like so distracting to me.
It was okay. They should make that his character that he likes cheeseburgers. I don't know. Like, they gotta do something with this. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think these guys are gonna get fired. I think they all are gonna get fired, dude. I think they're just gonna shut this down one day.
When I see someone who's like super out of shape versus someone who's like in pretty good shape, it's hard for me to believe that. Like, it's that close of a contest. Do you know? Like, yeah. Like, I mean, for me, it just feels that way. So I kind of get out of it. A-Kid, he cuts a promo. He is back now in NXT UK, which is weird because the same week he's actually on regular NXT too. So he is back on NXT UK and he's going to go after Tio Man and his group of La Familia. Then we get another cool cinematic shot vignette of Wild Boar. He is back and he's back from injury and he's taking his revenge out on Symbiosis and what's his name? Eddie Dennis. Anything about this vignette or they make this vignette look good. They made Wild Boar look really good. But
the Wild Boar thing was okay. But otherwise,
you know what's so weird about these videos they do is that it makes it look so good. Mm-hmm. But then when you actually see them, when they come out to the ring and stuff, it just looks terrible. Because it's like, no. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I felt the same way about Aoife Valkyrie. Remember Aoife Valkyrie, the girl who turned first?
I think she left.
Oh, she might be the one who left. You're right.
Yeah, she looked like a movie star. Then she walks out and she looks like she's homeless. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. The videos made her look amazing. Like her voice is like trembling and she's like turning into a bird and shit. And then when she comes out, just like, it's like a fucking indie wrestler who's wearing fake wings in the back. Like, it looks so stupid.
I know.
And Wild Gordon is going to be the same thing. This video looks so good. He looks like a madman. And when he comes out, you're just going to be like, oh, it's just like an old small man. It just looks, I don't know. It's very weird.
No good. It's disgraceful.
Smith and Carter in the back complaining about Mustache Mountain cheating. Sid Scala breaks up the fight. He's got an idea. That was a bit. We'll go to match number 3. Tate Mayfair, first time in NXT UK versus Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams beating the shit out of him. And then Tate Mayfair is under the ring. So he tries to pull him out. And then Sam Gradwell comes out from under the ring, throws Tate back in, and he blocks Kenny from getting back to the ring. So Kenny loses by count out. And Gradwell chases him away because Kenny Williams, a couple of weeks ago, cut off his crappy little mohawk. Remember that little mohawk he had? Apparently. Dude, you should have seen him when he cut it off. And he was just like,
it was like my mohawk.
It was like Fabio lost all his hair. He was like, what? That little like fucking Homer Simpson hair he had. The dude noticed that this guy, Tate Mayfair, he moves weird. He moved like kind of like very weird. Did you notice that about him?
No, I didn't. I didn't notice a lot about this match. So no.
Oh, okay, yeah, nothing to talk about really. Yeah. Wolfgang's in the back, and he gets confronted by La Familia. They're gonna have a match next week. What do you think about La Familia?
They're okay. Phone
the Mafia group.
Are they like supposed to be the Tony Danap? Tony, what's his name? Tony D'Angelo of England or some shit?
I think it's supposed to be, but none of these guys are Italian. They're like, one's Turkish, one's I think Indian, and the other guy is William Regal's son. Nobody is fucking Italian.
William Regal's son is in the Mafia?
Yeah, Charlie Dempsey. That's William Regal's son. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he looks good, by the way. He's someone they should definitely not let go.
They're
probably going to. He looks like a throwback. William Regal's son looks like a wrestler from the
90s. William Regal was a throwback even back in the day. So
I know, but that's like the appeal. That was the appeal of William Regal.
Really fucking cool.
Then we get this part I thought was super boring. I couldn't even pay attention. So you tell me what it was about. Dragunov and Roderick Strong are sitting and they're talking. What the fuck were these guys talking about?
It was just so like boring. A face-to-face. I like that. So this is my theory. I think they're going to use Dragunov on the main roster to exploit the war. Because he kept going, I'm the Tsar. And I feel like they want to do it. They want to like have him go over there and scream about Putin. But they're nervous. So they're doing this Tsar shit.
Yeah.
That's what I get this sense that they're gonna make him a controversial kid. They're gonna ruin his career, basically. He's gonna become Muhammad Hassan, basically.
I would not put it past them to do that.
I think they want to, but they don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But they want to because they're fucking
animals. Yeah. You can tell they want it so bad, but they're like.
But they know like Fox and NBC and Peacock are going to be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And this guy's walking around being Putin.
Can you imagine if they did that? How annoyed NBC would be that like now, not only do they have to deal with this shit, they have to deal with like the controversy with Will Smith and Bel Air, their stupid ass TV show.
I know, but Vince can't help himself. So I do feel like that he's going to come out. I don't know. I just feel like if this war keeps going, they're going to ruin his career. I mean, his career is going to be, because everyone's going to blame him, but they're going to do it.
unless he's smart enough to be like, F you, I'm not doing it like Ali, and then just sit home. That's possible. That's possible. He's young enough that he can write it out and then just come back in an indies or something.
It's possible, but money talks, so we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. Money talks also. And we knew this guy grew up poor, so he
I know. Or at least he claims. Who knows?
Yeah. Did you ever see that promo he did about being poor, how he ate chips out of the garbage?
When he was a kid? No, I didn't see that.
And I was like, I ate chips out of the garbage like a week ago, dude. I was like, stop acting like that's depressing. Match number four. It is the Heritage Cup championship match. Mark Coffey versus Noam Dar. Yeah, you don't like the Heritage Cup stuff. It's because of the breaks, right?
Yeah, it's just it's a waste of everyone's time because none of this is going to translate to anything. WWE is never going to do this on the main roster. I don't even understand why Vince McMahon allows them to do this. This is why I feel like this show's in an alternate universe. This feels like something William Regal and Triple H would want. And they're both out of power. And I think it stinks. I think it's like fucking 1950s bullshit. It's just boring. It's just not, you know, Randy Orton had a, did you see Randy Orton's interview today where he was like, these fucking NXT guys don't know how to work?
He didn't say it like that. He said
they don't know how to make it. They've hurt you a lot.
He said, yeah, Randy Orton said, Junior always said, the most important thing is protect yourselves. But I wrestled some of these guys from NXT, and they don't know how to do shit, basically. Basically, yeah. You know why? They don't know how to protect people.
Because they're training them to do this strong-style Heritage Cup bullshit. When nothing they did in this match is going to translate to the main roster. They can't do this shit with Roman Reigns. They can't do this shit with Randy Orton. So you're teaching these guys shit that would fucking, I'm sure it'll fly a blood sport when they get fired. But like fucking, these motherfuckers need to learn how to work. So when they go over to the main, work the style. They need to learn how to work the style that Vince likes. Because at the end of the day, this is what happens. These fucking and I can already tell because Randy Orton's a Vince guy. These retards show up to the main roster. They do this Farmer Strong style New Japan bullshit. And Vince and Randy Orton and everyone else is like, what the fuck is this? And then they're in the doghouse. But that's all they've been taught to do. This Heritage Cup stuff is crazy.
They need to learn sports entertainment.
But they do.
I know. I know. That's why I said it. They need to learn sports. They're working for WWE. That's why they need to learn sports entertainment.
Yes. I don't know. This Heritage Cup thing is a waste of time. And also, I don't hear any like fans, you know, the indie fans or the fucking wrestling nerds talking about this fucking Heritage Cup. Like, nobody's like, oh my God, I love the Heritage Cup. So you're doing something that appeals to like the most hardcore wrestling technical fans. They don't give a shit. The fans, the regular fans don't give a shit. And then these guys are going to go to the main roster and look like fucking jerk-offs to Randy Orton. So who's winning? No one.
Imagine they go, Randy, I've got an idea.
Let's put you in the Heritage Cup.
Right? There's this cup, right? And we're going to take breaks in between. Can you imagine when they're going to the main roster and pitching this idea? It'd be so funny.
It's a fucking, it's a waste of everyone's time. And it's boring. It's boring.
Yeah, because of the breaks, it's kind of boring. So yeah,
Noam Dar has a lot of character and he loses it when he wrestles shit and this goofy bullshit.
He's getting his first figure in this year. First action figure.
I definitely think he's a guy that could translate to the main roster, but if he like goes in the ring and doesn't know what he's doing, he's going to be the doghouse no matter how good now his promo ability is. So
yeah. All right. So in this Heritage Cup match, Noam Dar, Rosa, Mark Coffey in round two. Round three, Mark Coffey hit the Enziguri for the pinfall for him. Remember, you have to win two pinfalls in six rounds. Fifth round, due to a distraction from Joe Coffey, Noam Dar hits a Nova Rolla for the second pinfall for him to retain. I thought it kind of ended interesting where Joe Coffey cost his brother the match. So that it looks like I hope they do this storyline where there's some dissension and they split up because
Gallus. Dissension in the ascension.
Gallus has been like the focus of NXT UK in its like whole existence.
I'm just tired of hearing Gallus.
Gallus boys on top. I'm sick of hearing that. They need to break up this stable. This stable has been the focus of this show since it started, and they just need to break it up. They literally, since it started, it's been the focus. It's been like, what, 3 years now? Get the fuck, dude, it needs to end. It needs to end. Anyway, if you missed NXT UK, you are missing nothing.
What a sad start. I mean, not that this was supposed to be the start of WrestleMania week. See, technically WrestleMania week started Monday. No. You took a break on Wednesday, so that's no longer WrestleMania week. Today is the start because WWE had their first show. You know what I'm saying? Which was NXT UK.
I always thought WrestleMania weekend.
They said they started on this past Monday.
I always thought it started on Friday. That's how I always viewed it.
I started today because also there's WrestleCon stuff going on. And
yeah, but that's like the pre-show.
Yeah, I know, but I'm starting it today. Technically, it was started on WWE claims it started Monday. And it goes, but it has to be a streak. You have to have a streak of shows. So it's today until Tuesday. And people that go, it doesn't end Sunday. It ends Monday and Tuesday because that's the fallout and the start of the new season, I would say, of WWE. So Tuesday is the last day. If there was no live NXT, it would end on Monday.
I think we might all disagree on what day it starts, but I think we can all agree Tuesday is when it ends.
Yeah, like, officially. That's why we're going to try to do podcasts.
Yeah.
But now on to the next show of WrestleMania week, night one, Impact Wrestling. We're covering the two shows nobody gives a shit about. I love it.
During Nerdam WrestleMania was in our area a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You and I, we went to an Impact show, didn't we? An Impact WrestlePro show?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That show was good. That show was so good. I remember how good that show was. That was when it was Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus the Lucha Brothers. You remember that shit?
Yeah.
And then the fucking Ace Austin jumping off that fucking thing. Oh, man. Back when...
Ace Austin could have a few. You were like, he's going to be so good, bro.
Yeah. I used to be in love with this guy. I was like, this guy's fantastic. You know what's so weird? Like, back then, Impact had so much potential. And now, like, I watch this show, and this show is still, like...
They're doing better than a year ago. A year ago, they had Tommy Dreamer in the main event. And Kenny Omega was beating up the whole roster.
A year ago, you had Tommy Dreamer in a detective cap.
Yes.
Stupid shit.
And he's wrestling Rich Swann for the title. So they are doing better. That, you know, nobody cares, but they are doing better. And everyone has a defined character, more or less. Look, it's not great, but it's improved from where it was a year ago.
Okay, fair point. That is fair. All right. Did you watch PTI?
No, it's not on Access TV anymore, so I don't watch it. They showed highlights. Black Taurus won, right?
Yes, Black Taurus versus Diener. He hits the Power Bull. I'll driver for the victory.
When we get to the recap and the promo, we'll talk about it because I have a lot to say about Violent by Design, as always. So.
Oh, wait. Did you mean when they recap BTI in the show?
Yeah, didn't you see that?
Yeah, but I didn't write that. I don't know when it was. But
Did you see the promo by Violent by Design?
Yes.
Okay, so that was right before the promo. So.
Oh, okay, all right.
Well, let's wait till we get to the promo. We got to do it in order. So,
okay.
Show starts.
So, Moose, they recap what's going on with Moose and Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander has been rehired by Impact Wrestling, and Moose, and they're going at it. Moose even went to Josh's house, and he also recently at an indie show, of the house shows, he speared Josh Alexander's wife, formerly Jay Chung of Ring of Honor. And
she's a wrestler. I didn't know that. I thought she was like a regular
woman. Yeah. She used to be in Ring of Honor when I used to watch it. She used to be, you know who valet she used to be? Was Jimmy Rave's. Do you remember Jimmy Rave? He passed away like last year.
Yeah. Okay, that's nice to know.
She used to be his valet, yeah.
Maybe she'll come in and wrestle again now that she's taking bumps.
She was actually the one who was trying to help, I think, Jimmy Rave family try to find his old memorabilia. Do you remember how, like,
Oh, I didn't know that was stolen? Okay, yeah, there was a lot of tweets about that, yes.
Yeah, she was trying to help his family out. Like, she was like, hey, guys, his family's looking for this stuff. Can somebody help him out? Because, you know, I'm sure she's still friends with them. It was a very sad story. But anyway, show begins with Josh coming into the arena. Scott D'Amore comes up to him, and Scott's like, hey, you know, I know you're really sad about your wife, and hey, you know, I understand because I knew her. Josh grabs this fat fuck, right, and throws him up against the wall, starts yelling at him, like, don't tell me this crap that he's not here, and I'm gonna go after him. And then Scott D'Amore just like, okay, I will be honest with you. For once, Scott D'Amore actually did well in a segment where he didn't over-talk the talent. He actually looked like he was scared of the talent, right? And when a talent was threatening him, and he shined by not saying anything, letting the guy get himself over. I thought this was actually a very well done segment for Scott D'Amore, in my opinion.
It was the only segment with Scott D'Amore, so that makes it good.
Yeah, that's true too. And he was good in this. It was like he didn't really talk. He let fucking Josh.
You know what would be? You know what? I think my favorite Scott D'Amore segment ever would be is when he dies on camera and we never see him again.
Okay, this was an improvement, I thought.
Dude, there's an episode. So I have Impact Plus again. There's an episode of the pay per view. Remember they did the weekly pay per views?
Yes.
So the last episode has Scott D'Amore fight Dusty Rhodes. And they allow Scott D'Amore to cut a promo. And, dude, this promo is like 10 to 15 minutes long.
Oh, just my God.
Calling Dusty fat. This is why your son hates you. And just, like, all this stuff that, like, oh, it was just brutal, bro. It was brutal. This guy's never been good. This guy, you know what this guy is? This guy is a failure. He's never been good. He wants to be he can't even be Jim Cornette. Like, he can't even be Jim Cornette. Dude, he can't even be the Sinister Minister. This guy's an absolute failure. So he constantly just is, like, in management or is, like, he's behind the scenes, like Johnny Ace. Just two complete fucking failures in the ring that are now behind the scenes. And you can argue, well, are they failures? Because they've been working for Vince or Impact for 20 years now. Yes, because you can tell. I don't know so much about Johnny Ace, but you can tell Scott D'Amore. I think Johnny Ace likes being behind the scenes. So maybe he's not a failure. I take that back, Johnny Ace. But you can tell Scott D'Amore really wanted to be, at the very least, Jim Cornette. At the most, probably Stone Cold Steve Austin. The guy barely is a manager at a fucking Wendy's, and he should just go away.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's fair. First match up is Jonathan Gresham. And he cuts a promo on Ring of Honor. He talks about Ring of Honor, why he came to Impact, because he wanted to share the Ring of Honor with everybody. Kenny King comes out, starts cutting a promo. I'm bored at this point. I thought Jonathan Gresham's promo was so fucking bad. And then Kenny King's boring as hell until he starts going, Ring of Honor, I don't even want that belt. It's a dead company. And I started laughing my ass off. So we're going to get Jonathan Gresham versus Kenny King. I can't really – it's hard for me to get into Jonathan Gresham matches.
I was about to say it's hard for me to tell the difference between these guys because they're both black.
No. Like, Kenny King, he's not terrible, but he's not a good wrestler.
He's a never was.
Yeah, he just, like – doesn't know how to tell a story in the ring.
He had potential at one point, and it's over.
Yeah, and Jonathan Gresham, like, I just can't get into his matches a lot of times because of him. And he basically hits, like, a leg lock for Kenny King, unlike Kenny King, for Gresham to win. And then Eddie Edwards comes out, attacks Gresham, and then Rocky Romero comes in and makes the save. Like I said, I couldn't get into this. What did you think of this match?
It was okay. Again, I kind of like that Impact now has a more, like, sports presentation a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. But I know Tony Khan, the rumor is Tony Khan's going to sign Jonathan Gresham. I guess. I don't see.
I wouldn't.
I don't see, like, yeah, he's one of the most overrated guys in wrestling. So I'm going to find out tomorrow when he fights Bandido. I think that, so you tweeted out they added Chavo Guerrero to that match. I think they added Chavo Guerrero to that match. So it, someone interesting would actually be around those two people.
If it was up to me, what I would actually do is I would sign Bandido and I would have him win.
Yeah.
And I would aggressively go after the Spanish market. Because you have the Lucha Brothers, right? Mm-hmm. You have Andrade. You have, you could now have Bandido. Why are you not going after the Latin market? Like,
for
why
some
are you
reason, not for some reason, everyone thinks this fucking Gresham guy is so great. I think he's got a role. I think he's Shorty G.
Yeah,
he is Shorty G. Chad Gable. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable is what everyone thinks Jonathan Gresham. Chad Gable has really proved that he belongs with the big guns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last few weeks with the last 3 months with the work he's done with Randy Orton. And credit to Randy Orton for fucking working with this guy for this many months now.
Jonathan Gresham is like a good, very good technical wrestler. But the thing is this, he doesn't have any charisma. Like no charisma, in my opinion. He's very
kind of like, he's a good hand, I guess, to have around. But I don't know this whole thing about Tony. Look, if you want to have him around and have him wrestle on Dark, or every now and then you put him on Dynamite to like throw a good match, that's fine. Basically, make him like fucking Dean Malenko was. But you cannot center Ring of Honor around him anymore. That's got it. If you want Ring of Honor to go anywhere, you got to not center around him. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's not even the real champion.
Yeah, I know Bandido
He's like an interim champion. Yeah. I would just have Bandido win, and I'll be like, just aggressively go after the Latin market.
I don't know.
Satisfied.
But see, the problem is Khan.
I think it sounds like Tony Khan's is satisfied with just getting 1 million viewers every week. Like, that, he's just satisfied with that. Like, he doesn't want any more. He's just like,
Khan listens to the internet. The internet likes Grisham. So I think he is going to sign and give Grisham a push. I think it's a mistake, but whatever.
I guess he's...
You're right. Khan is just happy getting a million. He doesn't...
Yeah, he's just happy getting a million.
And everyone has to pretend how great they're doing when they haven't gone beyond.
Yeah. I guess when you're a billionaire, you don't give a shit about stuff like that. So, all right. Motor City Machine Guns cut a promo that I could not tell you what it was about. Then Deonna cut a promo in her about to cry voice. I cannot tell you what this one was about either, but I know
about that she's gonna. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but tomorrow night Ring of Honor is going to have they're having an interim championship match.
Yeah.
So. Deonna, this is the weird thing though. Deonna's going to be on Multiverse of Matches.
Yes. But
the Briscoes are on both. They're on Multiverse and Ring of Honor tomorrow night.
Yeah.
How come Deonna couldn't do both?
I think it's because probably Tony Khan doesn't want her there. So tomorrow in the Multiverse of Matches for Impact Wrestling, Deonna is right now, she's currently a two champion. That's why she calls herself champ. She is the AAA Women's Champion. She's the Ring of Honor Women's Champion, right? And tomorrow, she is going to put up one of those titles to an unknown person right now. And I feel like she's actually going to lose the Ring of Honor Championship tomorrow. I think Tony Khan wants that belt off of her. And someone is going to win it. And... who knows? Maybe it's
and then they'll have a unification match between whoever wins,
or something like that.
I was like, wait a minute, how come the Briscoes can do both shows, but Deonna? Because like, why can't Deonna just show up, drop the belt? Why can't Deonna defend the AAA belt and then go to Ring of Honor and drop that belt? Like, that's so weird to me. And you're right, I don't think Tony Khan, because Britt Baker has said in the past she would love to wrestle her, and Khan has just basically been like, nope, they have not done. But you know why? Because she's another one. Not that great.
I don't think she's as good as everyone says she is as well.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And she doesn't have the likability.
There's a lot of people who are overhyped in wrestling. Way amount of people.
And I would have still, I would have still worked out a deal. And had her show up tomorrow night on Ring of Honor and lose the belt. That's what I would have done. But
Yeah, possibly. All right. So, yeah, multiverse of matches tomorrow night. Deonna is going to put up one of those belts to an unknown opponent. I think she's going to lose to whoever it's going to be.
By the way, I think it was a massive, massive mistake for Impact to put this show against Ring of Honor and Joey Janela and SmackDown. And I don't understand why they didn't have this show tomorrow morning or in the afternoon. I might have ordered it.
Oh, you mean the Ring of Honor show?
No, the Impact Multiverse of Matches show. It was a big mistake to have it.
I don't, dude, Impact is really bad at like when they should book a show. Didn't they like book a show against?
They nailed it last year. They had Hardcore Justice right before me.
Yeah,
and then they never nailed it again.
Didn't they also do something where like it was like right up against SummerSlam or some shit like that?
It was like up against the debut of CM Punk and the first SmackDown with fans or something. They had Christian versus Brian Myers.
You know how I was like Tony Khan? It looks like Tony Khan's satisfied with just getting 1 million viewers every week.
They're satisfied with getting no viewers.
I think Impact is satisfied with their 200 viewers every week.
I might if Multiverse and Match was like 4 o'clock tomorrow, I might order it because there's nothing. So like tomorrow night, I'm gonna watch SmackDown, Hall of Fame, Rampage, Ring of Honor. So at that point, if I were to watch any other wrestling show, it'd be like 4 or 5 in the morning. These matches aren't that good for me to pay $20 and watch it fully and watch that later, watch the next day. It's just, I'm just gonna skip it. Like why would you? There's so much competition tomorrow night. Why would you put this on? It's just so fucking dumb. They're so fucking dumb.
I think like they're
arrogant. They're arrogantly dumb. They're arrogantly dumb.
Impact is like, it's like Shane Taylor. They're like, we're the best wrestling show. We know people are going to watch us tomorrow.
No. That's why they're doing it. Dude, and even though Impact is like $10 cheaper than Ring of Honor, I kind of feel like Tony Khan's going to drop a big surprise tomorrow night. So I'm going to pay the 30 to see this show. I've never bought a Ring of Honor show before.
Dude, the Ring of Honor show, the way he just like last minute booked the shit out of it, tells me 100% I feel like something's definitely happening on that show.
I'm not even going to look at my phone until like, because I'm going to watch, this is the plan for tomorrow. We're not going to do a podcast because this is going to go so long. I have two friends coming over. I'm like, you guys can stay all night, but you can, I'm not tapping out. SmackDown, Hall of Fame, Rampage, and then the Ring of Honor show. So I'm not going to look at my phone.
What about NXT Level Up?
No, it's getting preemptive for the Hall of Fame. What if they were like, we're going to have the Hall of Fame after NXT Level Up? Undertaker just standing there.
Hey, I like that Singapore guy. He's pretty... All right.
Listen, Undertaker calls him up. We can't have my Hall of Fame until after NXT Level Up. Those kids need to have their matches.
All right, match number 2, Swinger and Zicky Dice versus the Good Brothers in a squash match where Swinger doesn't even get in the ring.
Yeah, why are they letting Zicky Dice get jobbed out when he has
to? This is how bad Impact Wrestling is. The one guy who would actually be like an interesting character on the show, they just like, no, we're just going to job the fuck out of this.
By the way, I know we said this about a month ago, but I'll say it again. Good Brothers, it's over. I don't give a shit about these guys. They're not good. Yeah. They are by the numbers. Vince was right about them. They stink. They stink.
I can't believe these guys were getting millions before. I can't believe they were getting millions.
Yeah. No, you know what? Like they got nervous for a second. But really, like, if I want to say to Carl Anderson, dude, if you were Vince, would you sign you to that amount of money? Would you? You have no personality, bro. You're the personality of a fucking tree stump. And you stink in the ring. These guys stink. They're so These guys are overrated. These guys are overrated.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is this. You have, if you're running Impact, I would be like, dude, you have a very bland show. Like, Impact's a very bland show. Everybody is very, like, nobody really sticks out. Why don't you, part of the reason what made Sammy Callahan interesting in Impact was like he always did stuff that kind of drew attention to Impact Wrestling, right? That's what Zicky Dice could be if you just fucking take the leashes off. But no, you gotta job him out.
They're treating Zicky Dice the way Vince would treat him. And I was like, why?
Why did you even sign him then? Did you even sign him then? If you're going to do
this. You have Johnny Swinger standing there. Why can't he get beat up?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And why
can't you think do you think there's a future in fucking Johnny Swinger that he has to be protected?
Yeah. It's so dumb. It is really dumb. So they hit the Magic Killer on Ziggy Dyson squash match. Afterwards, they go in the back. They cut a promo, and I can't even tell you what it's about. But you hear some screaming in the back, and the camera and Gianna, the interviewer, she's like, "What is that?" And they fucking pan the camera to the parking lot, and there's PCO just standing in the parking lot going, "Shut up," which I love. It was funny. We go to commercial. We come back. And it's a cinematic match. Jonah, formerly Bronson Reed, attacks PCO. They're fighting in the back, in the parking lot. There's fucking, like, music playing, like it's an action scene from a movie. And there's a powerbomb on some, like, plywood. And then PCO ultimately puts Jonah's head in, like, a car and just starts smashing the car door on him. And then Jonah's passed out. And then PCO, like, takes a shovel and starts putting dirt on him like he's burying him. This was one of the most interesting things on this show, and this show was bland.
Oh, I think, by the way, this is my first time really seeing PCO. This guy stinks too. This is another overrated. I thought that when I first heard about PCO, I thought it was such an interesting character. Like, this WWE guy goes crazy and becomes like this monster. Dude, he's like, it's fucking... And then you're having to beat up Jonah. Like, how is this better than you know, the gloves are off? You're getting beat up by, like, the fucking Quebecer. And he's going, and that's better than being in NXT. Like, oh, they didn't really know how to push me. Everyone, oh, WWE, you know what to do with me. Yeah, you're getting beat up by a 58-year-old in a fucking parking lot. Like, well, he sounds like he's taking a dump. Get the fuck out of here, WWE, you know what to do with you.
But, like, this is so much better. This was entertaining. You have to admit.
PCO, just to me, is like.
Oh, this dude, was. Oh,
maybe it's better. Impact. They don't know how to, like, march. They don't know how to direct him, but he fucking stunk it up.
Oh, I thought, you know what, like, compared to most of the shit on this show, this was at least different, you know? It was like...
It's different, but it's like Impact different. It's like, this is what they
do. I liked it better than the Black Taurus match. I liked it better than the Gresham match.
I didn't see the Black Taurus.
Yeah, trust me, you didn't miss much in that either. And you know what? I like this PCO thing better than the next match. It was Madman Fulton versus Josh Alexander. It's another squash. Josh almost, like, breaks this guy's ankle with an ankle lock, rips off his shoe. Ace Austin runs away in fear, not helping Madman Fulton, signifying hopefully that these guys finally split up. I hope this is a turning point of Madman Fulton, because I think this wrestler has reached a point where he either needs to change what he's doing or he should quit wrestling, because this character is going nowhere.
You know? This was the best use of Madman Fulton. It made Josh Alexander look amazing. Made him look like the man. To be honest with you, they could fire this guy, man. I don't give a shit.
Exactly, dude. He also looks like he's no longer working out. Like, he looks super out of shape.
Yeah, I don't know. If this is the last thing we ever see of him, if this big giant guy just got fucking annihilated, but this is how you get a smaller guy over the way they did it. By the way, I really like this match. I thought this was the best. I think this is the best thing on the show, to be honest with you, because it fucking was a good dude. This is what they should have. If they want to get over, like, Gable Stevenson or Bron Breakker, they should have them do this to almost Bron Breakker or whoever they want to get over from the NXT LA Knight. Just have them annihilate almost, and you never see him again.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. You have Trey Miguel. He's talking in the back.
Oh, boy.
Speedball Mike Bailey about a triple threat match they're going to have. Typical Trey Miguel fucking thing. Mike Bailey reminds me of North Star from Alpha Flight.
That's a weird comparison.
He's like an Asian-looking French-Canadian guy.
Dude, all I heard about is how great Speedball Mike Bailey is. And the name sounds really cool. And then, like, again, he's another guy that gets a bit overhyped. This guy looks like a generic creator wrestler from a video game.
Yeah.
And also, Trey Miguel's promo is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Dude, ever since MSK left, he's gotten so bad.
Yeah, remember this guy used to be, like, the leader of MSK?
Yeah.
And then, like, now he's like, oh, no wonder they didn't sign this guy.
Yeah. Stinging up the joint.
Yeah, this is like, this, just them talking made me so uninterested in this triple threat.
Oh, like, yeah, he goes like, he's like, you know what, Ace Austin, good point. It was like, just the acting was bad on these two. Yeah. It was brutal. It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. I feel like Trey Miguel and like Ace Austin, they're constantly in these triple threat, quadruple threat, like X Division matches.
Yeah, you know, like they, you know, I got to give Jeff Jarrett credit. Because Jeff Jarrett would devote like 20 to 30 minutes of the show to X Division. The matches would be great. The storylines wouldn't be that interesting, but like, I don't know. The X Division was really, now it's just like, they're just like, well, we'll just have these little guys in a three way. Or
yeah.
No, it's just, they don't have any effort.
Back then, they made more of an effort to make it matter. Whereas now, it's more like, oh, you know, everybody likes the triple threat. Just put him in a triple threat. Just put him in a triple threat. Yeah.
I'll give him this. Like, from 2002 to 2006, he would do his goofy shit with, like, whoever, like Scott Steiner or whoever. But then he always made sure that the X Division had 20 to 30 minutes to put on – to basically, you know, make the show. And they don't do that anymore. I don't even know why they have the X Division at this point. They really shouldn't have an X Division.
Every feud is – I want to be the number one contender for the X Division.
Yes.
Every feud. It's so bad.
There's no, like, even the original X Division had a cool storyline where AJ Styles was training under Jerry Lynn, and then he betrayed him, and then Samoa Joe was destroying. It was like, I don't know. And dude, that was when the company stunk, but they still made time to have good matches. And they're just
And everybody like felt different, you know?
Yeah.
Now this thing, it's like,
but like the X Division wrestlers, like they felt like a team. I don't know, like there was like a, like if you could feel an X Division wrestler, now you just, it just fucking,
yeah, it's like, it's really bad.
Yeah,
speaking of bad, so Mickie James, she cuts a promo on Chelsea Green because she attacked her, because it's gonna be Mickie James and her husband Nick Aldis versus the Cardonas, and after that. You had Gia interviewing the Cardonas in response to what Mickie James is saying. What about these? Anything about these promos that we should know about?
No, nothing. They're...
Nothing. Yeah, I hate these fucking types of matches. I hate the married couple versus married couple.
I think unlike WWE, they're gonna have the men and the women hit each other. So
yeah, but I don't like these at all. I never find any of these interesting.
Yeah, I know. I think, though, what they're building to is, I think Mickie James is going to challenge Matt Cardona for the digital title at the next pay-per-view. Because Matt Cardona beat her up last week.
God. Jeez, man. Wow, you're probably right. Oh, God.
Well, look, she was at the Royal Rumble, so that means she's better than the male wrestlers. So.
God, that thing did nothing for Impact Wrestling at this point.
No, but no, they just wanted Mickie James there. I don't even think Vince realized she was in Impact. I just think, like, he's like, get Mickie James, and then and then Johnny Ace is like, oh, she's the Impact champion. He's like, yeah, fuck, I don't give a shit.
They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Just like, let her go in and eliminate, like, Michelle McCool.
They were like, Vince, she's the Impact champion. Can we play her music? I said, like, yeah, whatever. I don't care if NXT titles are on our show.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Who did she beat that little old Asian woman for the belt? And they're like,
bring that NXT belt over. Yeah. Fourth match on this show was a number one woman contenders for the Knockout Women's Championship Battle Royale. In a match filled with a whole bunch of nobodies. First one eliminated Alicia Edwards. Second one eliminated Jessica Havoc. Third one eliminated Tennille Dashwood. Fourth one, Madison Rayne. Fifth one, Jesse McKay, formerly of the, what were they called? The Iconics?
Yeah.
The Iconics, right?
Boy, the Iconics are doing nothing, huh?
No, nothing. They should have never signed these people. Number six, Jordynne Grace, who is actually going to be in the X Division match, I believe, at Multiverse of Madness. So fighting five other guys, basically. And number seven, Savannah Evans. Number eight, Giselle Shaw and Lady Frost got knocked out both by Rosemary, who is like the only one who actually looks like a legitimate contender. Like, so like the right person won, basically.
Yeah. Fucking a year ago, Billy Kay was like doing so well on SmackDown. Dude, the funniest thing about WWE fans, right? This is the really funny thing. Is that I remember there were a bunch of women on my timeline tweeting how much they love Billy Kay when she was on SmackDown, right? Mm-hmm. And when they got fired, they were like livid, like she's gonna do big things. How could you fire Billy Kay? And now that she's at Impact, they don't watch, they don't give a shit, and they're doing nothing. These two, they're doing less than nothing. They're not even cutting promos anymore.
I think I'm supporting Billy Kay more than any of those fans did, and I'm not even a fan of hers.
I didn't realize she was in the match. That's how bad it was. Like, how do you sign? Like, they can cut good promos. How do you sign these two and you don't give them any mic time anymore?
Yeah, I would have never signed these two.
I know. You know why they signed them? Because they were WWE rejects.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. But anyway, Rosemary won. Rosemary has been with this company since 2016.
You know, I knew she was gonna win because I was like, they just always, whenever like they don't know what to do, they just give Rosemary a title shot.
Yeah, because she's the only one who's like legit, like somebody.
Yeah. And people like her, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, you know what? When I was watching this battle royal, I was thinking like, who from this group could you like debut on AEW tomorrow and they would get a big pop? And I could only come with two of them.
Rosemary
and Jordynne Grace. The rest of them would not get a reaction, in my opinion.
Jordynne Grace would get a huge reaction. Yeah.
No, but that's why I said Jordynne Grace and Rosemary, those are the only two.
Yeah.
I don't see Jessica Havoc. I don't see Jesse McKay or Tennille Dashwood. I don't see any of them getting a reaction if they showed up on AEW. Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, Rosemary won. Good. You get, I think, the recap of BTI, Black Taurus versus Cody Deaner from Violent by Design. Black Taurus hits the powerful finisher on him to beat one half of the Impact Tag Team Champions. And then Violent by Design cuts a promo about the recap of BTI. What was this promo about?
Power! And what was the other word?
What do they always say? Like, it's our world?
This is this world belongs to you. They did manage to say that, but dude, they kept doing cuts. So like he'd be like, oh, Decay, you have our attention. Then it would cut to like fucking Joe Dorn going, power. And then and then Cody Deaner like making some dude. I fucking hate these guys. I fucking hate. But dude, this was one of the worst promos I've ever seen. They look like fucking losers, all three of these fucking retards. I fucking hated this promo. Dude, the cuts.
This stable has done nothing since they...
Dude, but they think they treat this stable like it's so fucking great. They act like they're the Shield or something. I'm like, what the...
Done nothing.
Dude, the promo was so bad. The cuts to like Eric, I'm about to say Eric Frost. Eric Newman. No, what's his name? If it cut to Eric Newman, it'd be an improvement.
Eric Newman is talented. They should fucking throw him in this group.
They cut to Eric Newman going, this world doesn't belong to you. Eric Frost. What the fuck is his name? This Eric Young. Eric Young going, power. The cuts didn't going, power.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Oh, God. Shit like this is like, this is why this company's, it's getting better, but like why do they still have this team together? Why? Exactly. Tell me.
No, true. Yeah. Why is this stable still together? It just makes no sense.
And they give them so much screen time.
Yeah. You know, what's the thing about like Impact is like, they will, like when you watch WWE, when something's not working, a lot of times they'll cut it.
This is like if Reckoning was still getting a push.
Yeah, like WWE will like sometimes cut things way before they give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Impact's the opposite. They will not cut something until like they'll just, even if it stinks, they'll just keep letting it go. Just keep letting it run for like years. We're talking
And then they act like it's such a, and then they act like it was so fucking great. Yeah. Like nobody gave a rat's ass about Abyss, and now they act like he was some fucking legend. It's like, no, yeah. you just never, he was just always on the show. That's why.
I wasn't an Abyss fan in the beginning when he was a crazy shit. By the way, Black Taurus, he wrestled on the pre-show today, but he also main evented a AAA show tonight. AAA invades WrestleCon. He main evented against Psycho Clown. He lost, but so two ends of the spectrum on one night for him.
Yeah.
Pre-show and a main event. It's crazy. Match number five, Aiden Prince versus Gujar, who hits like a second turnbuckle corner spear for the victory. This Aiden Prince, he looks like a leveled up James Ellsworth, like a better looking James Ellsworth. This Aiden Prince guy, what's his name, Myers is on commentary, and then after the match Morrissey comes out to attack Myers, and then he power bombs Aiden Prince. I see nothing in both these guys. Aiden,
no, they have an idea. They're going to push this guy. This guy, I guess, is new. For whatever they always wanted, I guess, is their new Indian guy, because the other two guys didn't work out.
Dude, the thing is, those other two guys are still in the company.
No, they Rohit hired left.
Shira back.
Rohit left,
but remember Shira?
Yeah, he's back. Shira?
He's still in the company. Gujar is new. The guy who used to be in Desi Hit Squad with Rohit Raju, he's back in the company. So the only one who left is the only one who had any bit of talent. It was Rohit Raju.
Yeah. Although he was stuck in a never ending, I want to be number one contender for the Impact, for the X Division.
Yeah. He's moved on to bigger and better things, wrestling on AEW Dark recently, losing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I like how these guys are like big names in Impact and they just become jobbers on Dark.
Oh, dude.
I don't think Tony Khan likes Impact at all, by the way.
No, I don't think he does at all. And I think there's a lot of people from Impact and Ring of Honor who end up being just jobbers on Dark.
Yeah. It's almost he's got an ego just like Vince does. Don't ever think he knows.
Arya Daivari is another one. Just a jobber. He's just a jobber on Dude, this guy's been on Raw. He's wrestled on Raw. Right? And he's a jobber on Dark. Like, he doesn't get an entrance, nothing. He's just a jobber on Dark.
There you go.
Yeah. Match number six. The one of their actually, in my opinion, better signings, Masha Slamovich, who they protected by not putting her in the bland fucking battle royal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knew that thing was going to stink.
Yeah, Masha Slamovich, who's just been doing squash matches versus another fucking jobber, Abby Jane. And Masha Slamovich hits her finishing move, but that they're now calling it the snow plow. Do you know what her finishing move used to be called just like a month ago?
What was it?
The Russian death device.
Oh, wow. they're forgetting that real fast.
Call it that again. Yeah, they can't. Dude, if you go on Twitter, Impact, like, you see old fucking tweets where they go, the Russian death device, and they show you a clip of her fucking finishing move. They just can't call it that now anymore. But, yeah, she's still being booked like a face, though. So, we'll see, you know?
Yeah, and that girl's gear was sort of weird, huh?
Abby Jane was very weird. It was.
I looked her up, because I'm like, is this girl, like, 12? She's 21, but, like, she's doing the whole... Someone in wrestling has to have this fetish where they like grown women dressed like babies.
Yeah, like
someone. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying like somebody with a lot of power. Like
I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of perversion in professional wrestling.
Yeah, because this must be it. Because Alexa Bliss and it's always like these grown women
acting. Kylie Rae was doing like.
Oh, and what's her name? Bailey was doing. I'm a little baby. The other one was
Too Young
was doing a movie. This weird like I'm a baby thing, and I'm like,
yeah. If you guys are thinking like, if you guys say like, no, it's not weird, it's just a character I'm playing. How many little boy characters do you see in wrestling?
I think Eugene, but he was more mentally ill than fucking.
That was a mentally ill. That's not a little kid.
But he was like the closest to like a little boy in wrestling.
Oh my gosh, that should be a gimmick, a little boy gimmick. Like, you're full grown adult.
No, I guarantee you, all the Vinces and the Scott DeMores will shit on it. But then if you bring in like a fucking, you know, 21-year-old and she's like, I want my bottle. Money! This is great. I love this.
Dude, there will be
also, they love beating up the little girls too. They love like having, except for Alexa Bliss, who's a naughty little girl, so she gets to win.
I actually would love it if somebody played a little boy character, the more I think about it. It'll be like you can't even look at the guy. Like,
I'm my mommy. I feel funny in my pants area or something like that. Like,
it would just be like so like,
oh, Beaver Cleavage was a little boy.
Yeah, but they didn't like they did like,
well, they dropped it right away because
they dropped it right away, but they should,
yeah. But he was supposed to be a little boy.
Yeah, I think that's actually really, it's a really weird gimmick. And I think you can do it and be like, people point out
how there's nine women with that gimmick.
Yeah, you should, if somebody points out how uncomfortable it is, you'd be like, you're sexist because we have women.
Yeah, we have 27 women acting like little babies.
Yeah. Match number 7, the final match, Chris Bay and Jay White versus the Motor City Machine Guns is probably the best match of the whole show, even though it's basically a spot fest. Chris Bay hits the Art of Finesse on Chris Sabin for the victory. Like, yeah, what'd you think?
It was okay, but I really do think like Jay White sitting next to Chris Bay and being an impact has turned him from something special into basically Dax Harwood. Like, he looks like a tag wrestler, bro. He doesn't look like the ace of New Japan.
When you watch Jay White in Impact, you go like, this guy, when I watch Jay White here, I'm like, this guy should be the face of this company. He's like the best in this.
I know, but he's not committed. He's not going to commit to
it. Yeah, but when you take him out and you put him in like an AEW or New Japan, I'm like, this guy.
They only used him in AEW once. They never used him
again. I know. Yeah, because it was on loan. I don't think like they signed him. It's just like they asked New Japan for a favor.
It's just fun. It's just funny to me. Like, yeah, I would have thought when AEW started that they would like rush to get Jay White. They must know something we don't, that he touched a kid or something. I don't know why they're not.
I think
his career is kind of like went down the toilet, but he didn't do anything.
You know what it is? Because he's another overrated person.
Yeah,
he's very bland. He's just a good wrestler. He is someone who should be a big fish in a little pond.
Impact has hurt him because I used to think he was a big deal, and seeing him on Impact for now a year has really hurt him. It really lowered his stock. And to me, honestly, I can see Vince looking at this guy and be like, oh yeah, he could be a tag guy, or he could be like, you know, a fucking, a lackey to Sheamus or something. That's how I can see Vince. And you know what? I don't think Vince would be wrong. I don't think
he's wrong.
He's his own worst. This guy did a great job of positioning himself as a main eventer. And then the last 2 years, he's just fucking, the last year and a half, he just tanked that perception of him. And he looks like a mid-carder.
Who would you say was a better wrestler? Jay White or Bobby Roode in his prime?
I would say Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode looked like a bigger deal. Bobby Roode. Jay White doesn't even carry himself. Jay White doesn't even carry himself like he's a big deal now. He just kind of like walks to the ring like a fucking loser. And Chris Bay drags him down. Bobby Roode, even when nobody's watching Impact, at least he carried himself like a big deal.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if like nobody's watching the show anymore.
Exactly. I agree. Bobby Roode in his prime is better than Jay White. And when I see Bobby Roode in the mid card in WWE, I'm like, this is exactly where I position him, right? Yeah. So Jay White, in my opinion, should never be a main eventer. He should always
be. Jay White should, yeah, but Jay White could barely be, he could barely be what Bobby Roode is to Dolph Ziggler right now.
I think he could be a good Dolph Ziggler partner.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if they put him in a tag team. But yeah. I just think like the ship has sailed. I think he thought, and I think the Meltzers thought he was going to be the next Kenny Omega. I think that ship has sailed and fuck it, is not coming back. He is lucky if he becomes Dax Harwood. It's over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else is over? our podcast. Nobody watched on Twitch. You know what? I don't think anyone gives a shit about.
That's okay. Yeah. That's because we're not naked. We got to be like taking off one item of clothes as we're doing this. That's how
you know, bro. That's what I was going to tell someone. I'm stopping the live stream now. We're still recording. Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, but guess what?
What?
We will be back Saturday afternoon, and we're going to talk about Ring of Honor, NXT Stand and Deliver, and then we'll be back Saturday night. Are you excited?
Yeah. When is Stand and Deliver? Afternoon? 12?
Yeah, apparently it starts at 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could definitely do that.
All yeah, right. So we'll jump on, do a quick review of Ring of Honor and that, and then we'll be back later on that night. And yeah, so we'll see you guys on Saturday. Thanks, bro.
Sounds good. Good night.